Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your fan team stream ahead of the Game Week 35 deadline. I am joined, as always, by last year's fan team winner. It's Josh. How are you, Josh?
Hey, I'm good, mate. How about you? I know you're not the best, but...
Yeah, it's horrible. It kind of comes and goes in waves. Like, I woke up this morning feeling awful. Had a couple of hours of that, and then a couple of hours of feeling all right, and now it's all gone downhill again. So, yeah, it's a nasty. But I have tested negative, so I am kind of COVID-free, but still suffering from the symptoms. However that works, I don't really know. But anyway, it's fine. It's fine. You're doing all right, though?
Yeah, I'm really good, mate. And I
know why. I know why you're doing good.
Yeah, I'm a very lucky boy, aren't I, at the moment? It's just like everything's going well. But I'm impressed by your dedication. Like, being up with doing the stream with, like, Sniffles. You did the stream last night as well, didn't you? So
I did. Yeah, I mean, you know me, mate. Ever the professional. I can't promise that anything I say will be useful or good, but that's why you're here.
Business as usual then, yeah? We're all good.
Exactly. Nothing really changes. But do you want to just tell the watchers and the listeners why you're doing so well? Because a little birdie tells me you're doing quite well in one of the fan team games.
Yeah, I mean, the Champions League knockout game, obviously it started in January, and I feel like I've been even luckier on that than I was last season. Like, it's just been everything I seem to have done has just gone really, really well. So I've got a few teams, like, in the mix, including one that's first at the moment, which is just like... I'm so happy, and like I'm telling all my friends, and they're all like, how are you doing it again? You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm really excited, and a lot can change, of course, because it's all really, really close at the top. But I'm just hoping for more of the same in the next round. So, like, a nice little Man City, Real Madrid, both teams to score, and a little Liverpool clean sheet, and hopefully we'll be on our way to the final, wherever it is. I think, is it in Russia or something?
I don't think it's in Russia, mate.
I don't know where it is.
They've moved it, haven't they? I think
it was going to be in Russia. I think
Spain or somewhere. I don't think they'll be going over there. anytime soon. Shouldn't laugh. It's not funny, but the idea of having a Champions League final in Russia at the moment is a little bit comical. And the best bit about all of this though is you promised to give me half the winnings as well for anything you won. So, you know, I'm going to be quids in when you come through it, and you know, you can look back at the stream, and you know, it's all recorded, and there's no way out of it.
We did, we did some nice streams on the group stage game at the start of the season, didn't we? So it's that was the practice for the knockout round, because I did not do well on the group stage game. I will tell you that absolutely for free. So unfortunately, we were giving out useless advice then, but you know, the knockout stage has gone better. So yeah, I've had a bit more luck. So
yeah, fingers crossed. You're doing very well. You're doing very well. Yeah. So on this stream, we're going to focus on the Game Week 35 monster, like we normally do, which is the kind of the weekend games, basically. You build a sort of a free hit team for the games, and you know, you can win money from that. Obviously, everything we're talking about to do with fan team is gambling, so be gamble aware, 18 plus only. Make sure you don't gamble money that you can't afford to lose, essentially, because you have to enter real money to play these games. But there is money to be made if you can get it right, which Josh and I are still yet to do after 35 weeks of entering teams into the Daily Monster. It's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky with when you enter one team, basically one a week. It is hard to get it spot on. And I think that's in some ways a testament to fan team, right? Because they've created a game here where it's not obvious who you need to select each week. There's lots of different ways you can go, doubling up on defences, you know, going against popular picks like Salah to try and get those kind of explosive ones. We haven't found the right formula yet between us, but, you know, still a couple of weeks to go.
Yeah, I think part of it is, and this is like, so what we do here is like do almost like a first look at like what the monster is, you know what I mean? So we're setting our team on a Thursday, right? Like, I think a crucial part we've been missing out ourselves is like changing the team at 2 o'clock based on the late news. So like when you get all the lineups, which is like loads of them. So I think it's a good base what we do here, but I do think I'm stressing to everyone. I think you should check all the teams at 2 o'clock and make a few weird changes. Like the weekend was a good example where Jesus was just suddenly in the team. And like, obviously he absolutely exploded. Now, I don't think we knew he was going to explode, but we knew he was starting at least. So he was very much an option. And anyone who picked him at the weekend, obviously 4 goals, 1 assist, had an amazing week. Probably they probably cashed at least, you know what I mean? So just with him alone. So yeah, it's an important part that me and you miss out, I think, through like just laziness between us basically. But hopefully we can remember this weekend and we can change our team at 2 o'clock. You know what I mean? If anything fun comes up with the Man City lineup or something like that.
God, you talk about laziness. I mean, it's not laziness, it's just forgetfulness, but I told you, I missed the deadline on Fan Team a few weeks ago, and that's kind of set me back a bit, like in terms of my, because it doesn't matter how high I finish now, I know that I could have finished higher if I hadn't missed that deadline. It's really frustrating. It's given me my first glimpse into, like, you know when you're playing FPL and your friends miss a deadline and then they kind of lose interest. I kind of get that now because I'm really, really annoyed with myself for missing that season long Fan Team deadline. But then I checked my team. I missed another deadline this week, so my second one. And I checked my team thinking, oh, at least I'll have like Salah as you know, this kind of bus team captain. It's on Che Adams. How the hell did that happen?
Well, he had the double the week before, but he didn't even come on at all in the first game, did he? So it was like,
I didn't captain him in that double though. I captained someone. I must have checked my team, changed the captain to Che Adams, or maybe it was something to do with like benching someone or bringing someone in or something weird, but somehow it ended up on him. And obviously he did nothing because he's useless for me in every game that I have him in. I've got him in my FPL team as well. I don't know how this has happened, but yeah, he's costing me across all different platforms and markets.
The good news with the striker spot is at least pretty much everyone's doing terrible. So like, I know Weghorst has got the odd assist recently. Like what a wild haul he's been having recently. But like, it's almost like you want to just spend as little as possible on your blanks in that position. You know what I mean? So at least Adams is quite cheap. So I'm putting a positive spin on it, hopefully.
It's France, the Champions League final, says One Life Soccer TV. In the chat, he wants to know our thoughts on Kane, kind of long term and short term. We'll discuss him on the short term option for this, obviously, as part of this monster. Long term, is Kane a must have? I'm not entirely convinced that he is. I think he's gone back to his old DM ways. I don't think I'd be selling him if I had him, but I don't think I'd be I wouldn't be selling if I had him, but I don't think I'd be prioritizing him if I didn't have him.
No, I mean, we're at the stage of the season now where it completely depends where you are, but I don't think anyone's essential anymore, like not even close, like literally, because if you're chasing, you need to be picking people different to Salah and Kane, you know what I mean? You need to have the different players. If you're in a good position, it's probably a good idea to keep Salah and Kane, probably, I'd say, just because of ownership and the fact that they can explode both at any given time. So, yeah, it really depends where you are now. We're at the fun part of the season where you need to adjust your strategy based on where you are. There's only 4 weeks left. It's like, this is the time now to take the risks or try and lock the bank up so no one can catch you. You know what I mean? Depending on where you are. So.
4 weeks left. Crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, there's a lot of games in that time because obviously loads of doubles 36, loads of doubles 37. So there's plenty of ground to be made. And hopefully, if any more questions come in while we're doing the monster picks, hopefully we can think of a few weird differentials that people can go with over the last 4 weeks as well for the for the season long.
Yep. Let's take a look at the monster though. This is obviously for the weekend coming up. Some interesting games. We've got Wolves v Brighton. It's probably not the most interesting of games. I don't think anyone cares outside of Brighton and Wolves fans about that one. Southampton versus Palace. Again, two more teams kind of not really much to play for. Watford Burnley. Two teams with a lot to play for, although Watford probably leaving it a bit too late. Now, Villa v Norwich, we're going to see investment in that. Leeds v City, Spurs v Leicester. Excuse me. Oh, I knew that was coming. Everton, Chelsea, West Ham, Arsenal, and then finally United, Brentford. What stands out for you here?
I think I fancy Spurs Leicester to be both teams to score. I just don't think either of them teams has got a clean sheet in them, really. So I think that's the one that, like, if I had to pick a result, I'd probably go like 2-1 or something to the home team, I think, to Spurs. I like the fact that some of the teams you've got a lot to play for are playing quite good teams this week. So as you can see, I think Leeds got City, obviously, and Everton have got Chelsea. I think those will at least both be competitive games in terms of, like, both teams will be putting out full strength teams, like really trying, running for everything.
Well, Spurs are only 2 points behind Arsenal for fourth.
Yeah, yeah. I think Spurs will win that game, especially after Leicester have to play tonight. I do think Spurs will win that game, but I don't see them having a clean sheet in them still. I don't think they're solid enough defensively. Like, they're really struggling in the wing back area at the moment, aren't they, as well, with, let's face it, like, not their first choice wing backs. So I still fancy like a second or half string Leicester team to score, I think, in that game. But
they are the worst team from an attacking sense, Leicester, over the last 6 weeks. They're bottom in terms of the chances they've created. And part of that comes from the fact they've rotated so heavily and haven't got this kind of settled side. But yeah, I do kind of agree. Spurs have been okay defensively, but you look at the defence and you think, surely they can be got at, especially if Vardy's back.
I think part of my thinking as well, that we'll come onto this in a minute when we look at the prices, but Leicester are very cheap, like very, very cheap. And I think that might be really nice if we can pick someone with a nice safety net who's like one of the midfielders, say. I think we might get a good one, if whether it be Madison, Barnes, Tielemans, you know what I mean? We might get someone who's got a bit of attacking output. So hopefully that's a good line. The other one I like, I really think Brentford will score at United. Do you? The way it's going at the moment.
Like, oh, definitely. There's like, no question marks around that.
And they're really cheap as well. And the other one that's cheap that might be a surprise to you is Burnley away at Watford. They're really cheap. And I think that from a defensive point of view, especially, I think that might be a really nice one to put a few budget players in for as well. Like, we know how good Nick Pope is, for example. So I think those are my three sort of bargain bucket away teams that might do all right. And you've also got the talisman from like Leeds and Everton, like the sort of like Rafinha, Richarlison. They're cheap, but they've got tough opposition this week. Mm. So we might not need to use those this week even, you know what I mean? I think we might be able to just go for the teams who are just genuinely underpriced. So hopefully we'll find that when we're building it now anyway.
Because also you're looking at Norwich, seeing who they're playing. They're obviously one of the teams that we tend to target. They're playing Villa. I can see straight away, you know, players like Danny Ings, 12.8 million. He's on here. Coutinho, 12.5. Watkins, 13 million. This is where the game is interesting, because obviously Villa aren't that great, but Norwich are terrible. But they're priced, you know, Watkins is the same price as Harry Kane, for example, because of that fixture. So what do you think about Villa? Are they worth the money?
I think if you're playing a Villa player, you're almost certainly only playing one just because of the price. I think you've got to just pick the one you think might get a brace or two attacking returns or something, because that's what they need to pay off that price, probably, like a two attacking returns, not just one, you know what I mean? So, the way I'm looking at it is, I think some of our like Leicester, Brentford, Burnley players might be able to fund the Villa players. So we might be able to fund one just because we're saving so much money in the other spots, yep. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that's the case anyway, when it comes to actually building it, because I haven't put one together yet. I've just looked at all the prices. So I'm hoping it all comes nicely together.
Well, let's start building then. So who are your kind of first names? Because, I mean, I'm guessing we go for a Villa player, right? Do we go for like a defense? I mean, the Villa defense looks pretty tight. Okay, they've conceded a couple of kind of sloppy goals, but the underlying stats are really nice. So you've got like Cash, Mings, these kind of guys. How much are they? Let me just have a quick look.
You've got 10-9, like, I think Cash is that right?
10-9 for Cash, 10-8 for Mings.
I think if you're playing one, you'd be good. You play Cash because he's got the attacking output as well. Like, you want to have the two-pronged, like, sort of route to the points, you know what I mean? Because ideally you're hitting both at that price. So I think he's definitely got an assist in him at that price, and he's been scoring a few goals as well. Like, it's, if you're going to pick a Villa defender, Cash is your man for sure.
Okay, let's go for Cash then. So he's our one defender. Let's grab some of your sort of budget options then. So you like the Leicester boys and you like the Brentford boys, right?
I think Tony's like Tony. I think it's just Tony. Like, I just think he's great.
Just look at that analysis from Josh. That's why you get the big money. I think he's great.
He's like perfectly suited to fan team, as I always talk about. He's got the 90 minutes always. He's got the penalties, which he's unbelievable at as well. you can definitely see United like conceding a penalty or conceding a sloppy goal, and he's going to be the one in the middle of the penalty box. You know what I mean? So, do you like his price there? I think that's a really nice price. Do you?
Yes, it is nice. 7.6 for Tony. He's on pens as well. Is great. I'm looking at Leicester. I don't think Leicester score. I'm going to go against you here. I think given the numbers, given the fact they're going to heavily rotate again, given the fact that Spurs have got to kind of win this one, I think they keep it tight and they win this.
Look, I mean, how Madison's cheap 6-8. They are, though.
I know. Madison is 6-8, and then you look at the Spurs defence and they're like 10-2. Emerson Royale for 9-7. Or you go down to someone like Dyer, I guess, for 9-4.
I mean, again, I just favour the attacking one. So I think Emerson Royale seems really nice as a right wing back or a left wing back, whichever side he's playing these days. It's right wing back with Reguilón back, isn't it? If Reguilón's playing, yeah.
I'm happy if you really want to get Madison in though, then I will allow that.
Is there a big difference between Madison and sort of the next midfield guys? Like, or is there a big gap between those two? Or?
Yeah, there is. I mean, Madison's 6-8, Dewsbury Hall down to 5-1.
Who's like second top? Is it Barnes? Is Barnes second?
Barnes is 6-3, yeah.
So I don't mind Barnes. See, like for the little bit of a save. And if you're not convinced they're going to score, like it might be better to just at least save some money if for whatever reason they don't.
You get Lookman if Barnes doesn't play.
Or Tielemans, yeah. I think that's enough of a safety net for sure. They have to play someone in midfield, right? So even if they fully rotate. So I don't mind Barnes. I think he's very explosive.
Okay, let's go for Barnes then. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. You're better at this than me.
I like the double Burnley defences I talked about. I think Watford, we always talk about Watford at home not being the force that they're a different team away from home as at home, basically. As we've talked about, they're quite open when they play at home, aren't they? So and Burnley just seem to be just getting the job done, don't they? The last few weeks.
It's a shame we can't select the manager, Ben Mee.
Yeah, I know.
He's unavailable. It's got to be Tarkovsky and Roberts, I guess, then, right?
I'd go the keeper for sure, mate. I love Pope. I just love him. I think he's one of my favourite assets. It's just, I don't know why I've got such an affiliation, but he's got the points. He's got makes loads of saves, and he's obviously still got the clean sheet chance, the same as the defenders. I like Roberts, Taylor and Tarkowski. I think they've all got chances, so Roberts the cheaper one. And then you've got Collins as the safety net. I think that works really well.
Sounds good to me. Yep, sounds good to me. Let's go for that.
We need to find another defender.
Another defender. Well, I mean, looking at the clean sheet, I think Wolves-Brighton is going to be very low scoring.
That's the only one I've got written down. I need to show you my phone. I've got Brighton-Wolves low scoring, those exact words written on my note on my phone. So,
yeah, and around the same price. I mean, you can get Webster for kind of 7-3, Dunk 7-2. Looking at Wolves, you get Cody 7-7. Say 7-6, not a huge amount in it. I think Brighton keep clean sheet here. I think Wolves are the second worst attacking side over the last six. We've only Leicester worse than them.
You want the attacking one then, mate? So just plug in Lamptey, maybe. Is he nailed?
Yeah, he's red flagged, but I don't know why. He should play.
Yeah, and you've got the safety net. This is the beauty of the safety net again, because there's loads below him, isn't there? So
yeah, let's put Lamptey in 7-5.
We want his attacking upside, I think. And we like hopefully Brighton win 1-0 and he's part of the goal, you know what I mean? And then you've got a really nice score for that price.
Yeah. And then we need to stop sending some money at the moment. We've got all the cheap assets. I guess we come over to Spurs.
I've written Spurs attack, Chelsea attack, Villa attack and City attack. I think you can spend your money on any of those and just like sort of be very frugal with it, you know what I mean? The City team's hard to predict this week, like really hard, I think. I think Grealish plays probably. That's one I'm pretty sure on. But and Sterling probably starts as well. Like, so maybe Sterling plays false nine. But
you just go to De Bruyne though, right, with the safety net.
Yeah,
of everyone.
That's they're almost a cheat code on this, aren't they? With the safety net, it's like you just get a starting Man City midfielder. Like it would solve all our problems on FPL and fan team season long, wouldn't it? If you just got the safety net, you know what I mean. So that's why they're so good on the second chance game. I think from now.
I think we go De Bruyne and Son.
Yeah. I think that De Bruyne...
That's where our money goes.
De Bruyne starts, and if they're winning by loads, he gets subbed off early again, doesn't he? But hopefully he's had something to do with it this time rather than what happened at the weekend. He just got... He did get 2 assists, I think. But
he did.
56-minute sub is like always a bit of a wounder, I think, when it's so close to 60.
I think it's... if City go that far ahead, he's going to get subbed early. But you've got to think, I mean, their fixtures are pretty good to an end of the season, but they haven't tended to blow teams away 5-6-0.
This might be a game where he gets a rest, which is why the safety net's really key to my thinking here.
No way. They don't rest him. They play him every week from now to the end of the season. He's too. If they don't win the league, and it's because they haven't played De Bruyne in one of these games, that's terrible for Pep.
Do you think it's like everyone else who just like literally everyone else is prone to rotation, but him and Rodri maybe. Rodri probably plays. I think
Foden plays probably all but one. I think De Bruyne plays everyone.
That's so interesting because I just think Bilva's so good. I think, like, he as a footballer is just unbelievable. And when De Bruyne hasn't played, he's looked like even better. He's almost stepped up in those spots. Mm. Like, I just think there is a chance that happens in one game that Bilva just plays.
Look at that Watford game. I mean, De Bruyne misses the semi final, so he's obviously injured because they would 100% have played him in that if he'd been even remotely fit. A first chance they get, they play him against Watford. Okay, they would give him 15 minutes, but they're not giving him 15 minutes if they're not 3 or 4 nil up at that point. If it's 1-0, he stays on for probably 70, 80. So they don't need to play him against Watford. They could have played Bernardo Silva against Watford. They would have won that game 3 or 4 nil. But they played him because he wants to make sure they're getting the job done. I just can't see any way he gets rested. He's literally too good at the moment. he'll just play and he'll win them. With him in the team, they'll win every game.
That's it. I think you've convinced me. I think that they have got a lot of names, but maybe he's just the one who doesn't. Because, like, even in Foden's position, they've obviously got Raz who can play out there very nicely on the left-hand side. Like, they've got options in every spot. Like, I was thinking about it on Tuesday when I was trying to build my Champions League teams, actually. I was like, who can play in each spot? And they've literally got two or three for each position. It's just like,
it's ridiculous.
It's absolutely wild. Like, because they're all so interchangeable as well. They all will just play different positions. And then I was thinking about if they didn't have a right back for midweek, because obviously they had the right back crisis with Stones out, Walker out, Cancelo suspended. And then they ended up getting Stones there. But he clearly wasn't fit. Like, he was like very much half fit, if that kind of thing. So I was thinking, will they just play Bernardo Silva at right wing back? They can just do whatever they want. Their team is so transferable and interchangeable. Like, everyone can play a couple of positions, and it's so powerful when you've got that flexibility. Like, and you're spending a load of money on them as well. You've just got like the perfect combination of just the super team, basically.
It's why Potter, I think, you know, obviously I'm biased being a Brighton fan, but Potter is very good at that as well. He's very good at creating this kind of fluid dynamic where kind of everyone can play everywhere. You know, like, you see Nwepu playing up front or dropping into midfield. You see Cucurella playing at centre back or on the left. You see players like looking like they're completely out of position, but because his tactics are so fluid, they're not really playing out of position because everyone knows their roles and knows where to be. And that kind of management style is really successful. The problem with Brighton is we haven't got the good enough quality players to be able to implement it. But you imagine someone like Potter being at a side where they can bring these tactics in, and he'll do an amazing job. I've no doubt, because it's from the school of Pep, right? It's that kind of just really clever style where when you've got intelligent players that can do it, it works really well. Anyway, I think we keep doing it. We've got what, three more spots? 11 million a spot.
I don't mind a Chelsea attacker against, is it Everton or Leeds? Okay, it's Everton, right? Like, Everton are not good defensively. Like, they looked okay on the counter attack against Liverpool, specifically Anthony Gordon only. I mean, we're talking about one player basically, who looked absolutely unbelievable when he was going forward. But defensively, it was shambolic for one of the goals. I think the first goal was really nice. The second goal was where Diaz overhead kicked it like against the floor, basically, and it landed.
Yeah.
Just like some of the defending was still like Liverpool were very open, and Liverpool got in behind quite a lot in the second half. So, and I think at home Everton have probably got a bit more impetus to go forward as well, to attack even more, because this is a game where they might think they can nick a draw or especially
they can.
With like,
I mean, they can. with the way Chelsea are playing at the moment, but you've got to think Chelsea are going to score in this one.
I think this is a both teams to score game, honestly. I think both teams will score in this game, but
so do I.
I favour a 1-3 to Chelsea, like a 3-1 to Chelsea or something, so we might want a piece of that still.
Maybe stick a Mount and a Richarlison in then.
Yeah, it's a nice way. And then we're going to have too much money, I think, but that's never a bad thing.
14.1, really. Can have whatever you want. Could grab Kane. Great record against Leicester.
Yeah, it could be a Kane, could be another a City midfielder again. It could be... is De Bruyne the most expensive mid? He is, right?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. So again, we'd have a bit spare, but not a bad thing.
So our team at the moment, this is within 11. We've got a bit, we can upgrade potentially. We've got Pope and Roberts, the two Burnley boys. Cash, Lamptey, Barnes, De Bruyne, Son, Mount, Tony, Richarlison and Kane. I mean, Barnes to me is the... link.
I agree with you. I agree with you in terms of now we've got the money. I was trying to save some money, but I don't think we need it anymore. I don't. We need the saving. You know what I mean. So
for 7-2, you're looking
and Boomer.
Yeah, double Brentford. That shows how confident we are. Well, I think maybe we just move Barnes up to Maddison because I think Madison's a better pick if they both start, and then you've got the safety net of Barnes anyway.
We could do that. The other thing I don't mind is like. Either doubling the Brighton defence to double up our chance of the clean sheet, like Dunk 7-2, Walker Peters. I don't mind that home to Crystal Palace. Like I think that could be okay as well. Like there's plenty of defenders around that price, but maybe we just go Madison and back our read that it's like a 3-1, like we said, and Tottenham.
Well,
boys
I think Spurs keep a clean sheet in that one. That's my.
We have to get rid of Madison then on that basis, don't we? Because like, he won't get any points.
Yeah, but you seem more convinced than me and you're better.
I like Dunk and just doubling it and going for the 1-0 and just hoping it's 1-0.
Let's do that.
Pairing it with Lamptey, you know.
Lovely.
Maybe Lamptey puts it on Dunk's head. Who knows?
That'd be sweet, wouldn't it? Okay, so that's Pope, Roberts, Cash, Lamptey, Dunk, De Bruyne, Son, Mount, Tony, Richarlison and Kane. Captain, I guess we're between De Bruyne, Son and Kane, right?
Yeah, I think in this spot where you go for the double Spurs attack, I think you put it on one of them because you've got both of them. So if one of them hits, the other one might get the assist, you know what I mean? So you're sort of really backing it even more, you know what I mean? You're going all in on Tottenham, I suppose. I do think they'll score 2 or 3 goals. So I like Son, I think. In a home fixture, I always prefer Son, I think. Because his home record is unbelievable. He's just like, he didn't do it against your boys though, did he, a few weeks ago?
Nope. Everyone thought they were going to smash us, and yeah. That was the performance, right? That was when I saw the lineup and thought, oh my God, what are we doing? We've got no striker. We've got like no centre backs. This is chaos. And that's that kind of fluidity that is really hard to play against when everyone knows their positions and how to play. That was one of the best performances we've had all season, that win against Spurs. Played
that
really,
was like,
really well.
It was like as comfortable as it gets, really, for an away performance like that. Like I was going to say you did a job, but I don't think that does it justice because like you were the better, like you 100% deserved the game.
It wasn't even
a debate. Yeah, it was like absolutely convincing Brighton win, yeah. So I was really shocked with that result. I thought it might be like a 1-1 maybe or something, but to win 1-0 and then barely have a shot is just like fair play. Like, that's a great result for you boys. It propelled you up a bit, didn't it? So
it did, yeah. I mean,
the Arsenal was Arsenal before or after?
Yeah, it was Arsenal before, I think.
They were one after the other anyway, yeah. So two amazing Arsenal, away results. Just like,
yeah,
fair play. Like, well done to the Brighton boys, yeah.
And then
we need the same again.
Yeah, I mean, Wolves, I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I can't. Neither team is capable of scoring goals, essentially. The stats indicate Wolves are the worst defensive side. I think Brighton are slightly better defensively as well over the last few fixtures. So, yeah, probably a 1-0 Wolves, but we'll back Brighton. We'll back the away team in this, and we go for Son.
My big regret from last week, by the way, I've got to mention it because Ward-Prowse's brace, I had none of him last week on the Monsters.
Oh,
I had absolutely none of him. And I was like, oh, God. Like, the 1 week it hits, like, the free kick goal and then the goal. You know what I mean? He's so good. I love him.
Ward-Prowse and Saar, they're your boys, aren't they?
He was really cheap last week. Ward-Prowse was as well. And he didn't quite make any of my... The budget was too friendly last week. So I just didn't need a cheap guy. You know what I mean? I just had all the City attackers, all the Liverpool attackers. I just had all of them in, and there was no room for Ward-Prowse in midfield. But sod's law, he does that. Yeah. He's just great. I just love him. He didn't even have a penalty, like, either, because he's on pens as well, obviously. So like that's how you expect to get the points with him. Like, often the penalty, like the free penalty, you'll get once every 10 games or whatever. But no, just free kicks. He's just
he's 9-8 He's 9-8 this week, so he's
too much this week. I think he's too much. When you look at Rafinha and Richarlison, who are like 3 million cheaper, I just think two and a half for Richarlison, but it's still too much. I think it's too much of a difference, and I genuinely prefer Tony this week as well. Like at 7-2, is it or something? 7-4?
He's 7-6.
Oh bloody hell! But it's 2.2 difference. So like I really like that. Yeah, I think Richarlison pick might be quite sneaky this week. He has to be their talisman at the moment, doesn't he? I know Gordon is the one who looks good on the eye, but I think Richarlison's going to be the one with the end product, if anything. So hopefully he nicks a goal against the leaky Chelsea defence.
Yep. No, I like it. I think I say it's every week. I say I like it, and then we never win anything. But you never know. Maybe this will be our week.
Yeah, right. I think so.
Josh, I'm going to go because my nose is literally falling apart before everyone's eyes. But thank you once again. Hopefully we can win something. Hopefully you can win some stuff on the Champions League game as well. You're in an amazing position for that as well. But we'll be back again next week to discuss. Not many of these left now. Game week 36, only three more of these videos. There's a big bumper game, isn't there, for game week 38, which we'll be doing a big video on.
That's going to be the most fun one. That I can't wait for that one. It's in about 3 weeks, but yeah.
Yeah. All the fixtures.
Yeah, yeah. It's just all at once as well. So the 2 o'clock thing I was talking about, where you get the team news an hour before, it's carnage for that last game of the season, because there's going to be 4 or 5 weird team sheets that everyone's just like, what has happened there? Like, why are Southampton playing their under 13? Do you know what I mean? So like, we'll have that. We'll be able to pick a team like a few days before that, and hopefully the chaos will then ensue after that. So yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Lovely stuff. Well, we'll be back next week. Thanks everyone for tuning in and for listening on the podcast as well, and we'll see you soon.